lift off and the clock has started.
Hello everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 285, recording March 11th, 2024. My name is Zach Anderson, and this week we are talking a little Mario Day. We are going to talk about a demo getting put up and taken down immediately, and what we've been playing, some other stories. To do this, I have with me, as always, Shannon, just DoorDash it more.
What's up, dude? I took a page out of my own book tonight, and I did DoorDash my own dinner.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm, I did.
Was everything in there, though?
Huh?
Was everything in there?
Yes.
Did they remember the drinks?
We don't order drinks. Like, okay. We learn, you know, don't do that. Because either people are drinking your drinks and then filling them with water, or, like, you know, you don't get the drink that you want.
Yeah.
So yeah, we you know, it's got some L&L,
got some Hawaiian barbecue. Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, we had a long weekend, and we usually do factor during the weeks because it makes the meals that much easier for us.
Sure.
But we finished our factor meals this week, and we had a play day, so we decided to kind of splurge a little bit.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. You get the, what'd you go, Loco Moco? What'd you go? What'd you do?
You know.
Did you get some spam?
I did. Nice. Some spam masubi.
Yeah.
You know, roll with two of those boys, bad boys. Get like a small chicken katsu. And then, you know, just go to town.
So I like a Loco Moco. Mm-hmm. You know, a little egg and rice meat combo that works. That does.
Yeah, like a good, barbecue chicken Simon is what it's called. It's basically like ramen with an egg and some chives and some chicken, barbecue chicken thrown in there. Dude, it hits the spot like every single time. If you're not feeling good, that stuff puts you right back in the game.
A little side of macaroni salad there too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have Hawaiian barbecue in Phoenix, as you sit there looking disgusted. Our other co-host that I haven't introduced yet, Justin Viva Las Vegas Carter.
It's your boy. You know, I think we might. I've never had it. But I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere there was like a Hawaiian barbecue place here.
Like, you've never had Hawaiian barbecue, or you just like, it's not something that you have when you're in Arizona?
I've never had it. I'm not sure what even like Hawaiian barbecue entails outside of probably like grilled pineapple. Maybe some like ham.
it's essentially a mashup of like, think like California food meets Japanese food with like Filipino mixed in there as well. Like, it's kind of all of that thrown together.
All right.
Yeah. Like, it depending on like it's like a sliding scale, like depending on how bad you want to treat your insides. Like, you could do like, you know, the barbecue stuff, which is great. Like, you know, it's healthy, you know, even portions. They, you know, they actually like, you know, give you some like vegetables and lettuce like in there, like, which, you know, kind of gives you that like, I'm eating healthy fast food vibe. But then like, you could go all the way down to the other end where they just throw like a whole chicken in the deep fryer twice and then put it on top of like some rice, and then they give you some like
fried rice.
Yeah, put it on top of the everything fried, and then like, you know, just have that like clogging up your arteries for 4 or 5 hours. You know, and the gamut in between is there. But you know, a good Moco Loco is like, you know, it's a good like chunk of beef with some gravy. Mm-hmm, and then I think some rice and macaroni.
Yep.
And then they put something else in there. An egg, right? They put like, an egg in there.
It's good eating.
It's
good stuff. Good eats right there. I think we will have to take Justin on an adventure next time he's in California.
For sure.
Yeah, sounds like a good assortment. I think if I was going to try it, I'd probably go as far as I could on that one end of the spectrum. I do the double fried chicken on the yeah. fried oh, rice. Like,
what, hell yeah. Dude, all
right. Yeah, I'm 34. I could still recover from it.
You're not on the Shannon pill diet yet. Cholesterol medication.
Shannon, it's like ordering, and he has to consult his doctor before he places his order. He's like, "Is this okay?"
They're handing Shannon waivers.
You know, I just feel my chest and I look for the crunchy spots, and if it's like 50% crunchy, I can't eat anything super fried that day.
The PSI.
Yeah.
But yes, Justin, weekend in Vegas. How wild and crazy did you get, sir?
Dude, your boy. So we went to Vegas Thursday night after work. We stayed at the Luxor. For those of you don't know,
the worst place to stay in Vegas.
Dude, hey, so all right, let me preface. Hey, I have never stayed at the Luxor. The only thing I even know about the Luxor is the fact that Chris Angel levitated 300 feet above it in light.
I will say, Shannon, I will say to give Justin a little credit here. Not that he knew this, but with the Super Bowl there this year, and the Luxor being like the second hotel away from the stadium, they put a ton of money into the Luxor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's still old, right? Like, that's really the Luxor's main problem at this point, is it's old. Like, all the fixtures are old, the rooms are old, all that. But the building itself on the inside looks way nicer than it used to. So,
which you are spot on. It is very old. So I've never stayed there. It was funny, prior to going to Vegas, I pitched staying at Planet Hollywood, which I have stayed at before, and those hotels are really nice. And the people that we were going with, though, were like, oh, you know, yeah, well, that sounds pretty cool. Like, we stayed at the Luxor like 6 years ago or whatever, and it was pretty nice, whatever. And I was like, okay, well, I was like, well, whatever you guys want to do, like, I don't really care. And so we ended up choosing the Luxor, which Megan immediately regretted. When it happened, because the elevators, didn't matter which one, it always smells like someone squatted and shit in there. Like, I don't know if they built the elevators above the septic tanks of the hotel or what, but man, dude, every fucking day it reeked. The one elevator, initially we were supposed to be staying on like the 11th floor or whatever, and we're going up, and because of where we were staying, it's one of those where the elevator goes at like an angle instead of going like up and down.
Oh, yes. So that's a feature. That was a selling point of the hotel.
That, yeah. I was gonna say that, being the elevator guy that I am, that's like the one like random factoid I know about Vegas, that in the Luxor, the elevators are actually angled.
They're wonkavators.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you right now, the elevator shook so bad that Megan and I had to get off like four floors prior to where we were supposed to go, because Megan started having a panic attack at how bad the elevator was shaking. So we had to take the stairs the rest of the way up to the room. When we got to the room was not made. Like, the sheets were half off of one of the beds, like the dirty sheets. It hadn't been vacuumed. It hadn't been, there was garbage in the room. Like, they had not done our room at all. And so they had to go downstairs and like get us a new room, which luckily that one was on the fifth floor. So we did not have to take, we had to take a completely different elevator, which just smelled like shit, but it did not shake like crazy. So I guess that was a perk. But no, so we stayed there. We went and saw the BattleBots Destructathon. That was pretty cool. It was like, it wasn't as cool as we went and saw BattleBots last time. And it was actually when they were filming the 7th World Championship. And that was cool, 'cause like all the actual teams were there. They were filming like the actual judges and the hosts and whatever, like everyone was there for this. This is like a show that they do 3 or 4 nights a week. And so it has like some of the big bots and stuff, like half the like good bots or whatever were there, but then the other half were just like no name, whatever, like people bots, and none of the actual drivers were there though. So they had like other people driving their bots and stuff. So it wasn't like as exciting, like, you know,
that's like when the WWF would roll around, like back in our day, Shannon, and it was just like, you know, Legion of Doom versus Orient Express, and it's yeah. just like one of the guys, the Legion of Doom, and like some other dude in shoulder pads, and like neither of the guys of Orient Express, but they're just telling you that's who it is.
Yeah, you're like far enough away, and if you squint, they kind of look like that guy, but not really.
Because they're not recording it for TV, so they don't care.
And that's basically what happened. And like, you know, normally, like both sides of the battle box, you can sit and whatever, but like the one entire side was like closed off. Like, so we all just sat on one side, which tells you like how small it was compared to last time when we went, both sides of like the arena were like packed. And this one, so it was a lot smaller. It was kind of cool though, because at one point they did bring in a like old slot machine or whatever, and one of the battle bots like hit it, and dude, it fucking decimated that slot machine. Like, it, really? Like split that, it like launched that shit like 10 feet in the air against it, like split it down the middle and like shattered it into like 80 different parts. It was pretty great. But that was all right. And we also saw America's Got Talent Superstars, which was pretty
Superstars.
Cool.
Superstars,
like,
okay.
Yeah, so it was, it wasn't like filming America's Got Talent, but it was a show that had a lot of people from a lot of different seasons. I think most of the people seem to be from like somewhere between season like 15 and like 19 or something like that. But it was a lot of the like finalists and stuff. So it was like good acts. And like a lot of people went, like there was a dude who did like shadow puppets and stuff. And he was really funny and good. And he could do like, he had like little props that he would like tape to his fingers to do like Michael Jackson and like all different stuff. There was a, oh god, what was his name? This one guy who, he's blind and he like plays piano really well, and like his singing was like immaculate, and like he was like really fun to watch and stuff. There was the favorite, my favorite part though, is there's this group of three dudes who did this like water act where they like would drink water, like spit water into like each other's mouths and stuff like that, which okay. is fucking disgusting. Right. But
yeah, it's super gross.
No. So yeah, it was really gross. They were basically like human water fountains. But the, what was funny is they brought some dude whose name was Jerry from the audience up to the stage to like participate. And like, you know, they like gave him a little bottle of water and he's like trying to mimic some of the stuff that they're doing. And then he's like standing in line with them. And then like the one dude at the end starts, and then like fills his mouth with water, turns to the other dude and like spits all the water into the other dude's mouth, and they go down the line, and then all three slowly look at Jerry, and dude, Jerry fucking took that water in the mouth. Like he committed to the bit, and I was like, dude, bravo, because I don't know if I would have had the fucking guts to sit there and do that. And he like hesitated for a minute, like he's like, am I really about to do this right now? And everyone starts chanting Jerry, and he did it, man. And then like he fucking spit it in the one dude's mouth and he swallowed the water. So,
oh, Jesus Christ.
But then he did get a shirt at the end that said hashtag, like, I don't know, it said like spit, not swallow or whatever on the shirt.
Hashtag no self-respect. Like,
yeah, Jesus but, Christ.
You know, he did. It was a fun time though. It was one of those things where like initially we were going for battle bots, and then like the America's Got Talent was just like an extra thing that we were going to do. And honestly, I think I ended up enjoying America's Got Talent more than battle bots, which was like the main thing that we were going there to do.
Did you enjoy the dust bowl that was your house when you got home?
Dude, honestly, like it's been a lot worse. I got home. It was so unfortunate that literally right before we were about to leave, no shit, like 2 hours before we were getting ready to leave to go to Vegas, it fucking piss poured rain in my house. Like it flooded the backyard. Jeez. Like it like monsoon like rained for like a solid like 90 minutes. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Because I'm like, dude, like our one dog Atlas, dude, loves rolling in mud puddles and whatever. And I'm like, dude, I can't watch her, and we're going to be leaving for like 3 days. So it's like praying. And we literally left the house. Megan forgot something. And so we came back. We were gone maybe like 5 minutes. I come in. She had mud all over her face and up to her elbows were in mud. And she's standing there, just mud on the ground. And I was like, oh my God. Like, dude, 5 minutes. I had to use two fucking towels. And I was like, God damn it, dude. Like, we haven't even left yet. And she's already out there. But yeah, the house was incredibly dusty. My couch is covered in mud. I was sad because we literally deep cleaned the floors and whatever from when Megan's sister came to visit, and they held up pretty well, and then now they're just like destroyed again. So it's like, well, honestly, I thought they would get destroyed sooner, so I'm actually surprised they lasted as long as they did, but now they're just like back to how they were.
Yeesh.
Rough.
But all around, it was a good trip, though. You know, I ate like, you know, we're talking about garbage, man, dude. Like, Shannon was like, just DoorDash. I'm like, bro, I'll tell you what. Yesterday for breakfast, I had chicken and waffles. The day before that for breakfast, I had a double barbecue bacon cheeseburger.
Hell yeah.
I mean, dude, you gotta do that shit up, dude. Like, yeah, I mean, like, you're in Vegas, dude. Like, chicken and waffles. I had a life-altering experience with chicken and waffles when Zach took me there, and I have yet to reclaim that feeling that I felt when I went to that chicken and waffle spot. So,
it's not Planet there Dailies. Anymore. Yeah, Planet Dailies. It's not there anymore. Ah, I know. Heartbreaking.
So good.
But no, it was
chicken and waffle Benedict, if I remember correctly.
Yo, it's all over my face.
And then remember their French toast, which was literally like half a baguette.
I remember, just needing stretchy pants.
Yeah.
Like walking out of there.
Disgusting. I believe I got a side of pho with it.
Yeah.
Just because fuck it. I mean, it's 1 a.m. and I'm in Vegas. Like,
it was like a precursor of things to come. Dude, that 1 o'clock in the morning, that was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That was like, we got to get some stuff in our bodies so that we can go to that bar over there.
Right. That was the night after the club, huh?
No, that was before.
Man, that trip is a blur.
Remember. Like we got into the strip, and then you were like, well, let's get some food. And the first place we went was Planet Dailies.
Right.
And then we just ate like there was no tomorrow, because we were going to go watch the draft, or we were going to go get set up. You were going to go place your bets.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were going to sit down, get our drinks, get our cigars, and just chill. And then we proceeded to just drink out as much as we could.
Well, and then we went that night, remember, to the bank in Bellagio, and got bottle service.
Mm-hmm.
And it was team whiskey versus team vodka.
Yeah, I gave my mouth second degree burns. I woke up the next day not being able to taste anything.
I mean, hey, you know, things happen. What happens in Vegas goes on your, you know, health report.
Yeah, goes to my dentist.
Exactly. But yes, Vegas, good times. It is funny that you don't have that Justin just doesn't have those levels of shenanigans.
No.
You know, you want to know the funny part, Justin? We were your age. This isn't like we were 24, you know.
Like, I know. Oh, we were so hurt.
We were legitimately like 34, 35 years old when this was all going down.
Dude, yeah. The craziest I probably got was like, and it was funny because everyone was like making fun of me because like breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. Everyone's like, oh, can I get a Diet Coke or can I get mimosa? Can I get whatever? And I was like, yeah, I can just get water. And I drank water like the majority of the time I was there. And we were going to some pizza place. And we passed by, which we have one here in Arizona. It's in Tempe, but we passed by Fat Tuesday, which is the alcoholic slushy.
Place.
And they were all like, and earlier we had been to the like Hershey, whatever place, and I got like a Jolly Rancher cherry slushy and stuff. So everyone knew, they're like, Justin, you love slushies, like please like get the alcoholic slushy. But I was like, fine, I'll get the alcoholic slushy. So I did. And then they had like 4 for $10 Jello shots. So we got 4 of those. So like I slammed 2 Jello shots and then like drank my slushy. And then we went to go eat pizza and I was like fucking lit. Like, and like they were like sitting there and the slushy already had alcohol in it. And they're like, do you want like an extra shot, like double shot in there or whatever? I was like, I guess I'll just do a shot. And they're like, well, what do you want? And I was like, well, I don't want like garbage. I'm like, let's just put Patron in it. Like, I don't fucking care. And I'm like sitting there and on the TV at this pizza place with some dog show. And I was like sitting there like laughing. And I was like, dude, what is so funny? I was like, dude, that dog's fucking killing it right now. It's just a huge shit face right now.
That dog is killing it.
I mean, you're not wrong, dude. Like, I think it would be so fun to just get like blottoed and watch the, like a dog show with you, because it would be phenomenal.
That's the thing with Justin that I've noticed is like he doesn't go to the line, but if you take him there, he has no problem just crossing it. Like, it's like he gets to the line, he's like, well, fucking, I'm here. Boom. And like, you know, you're off and running. Yeah. It's pretty funny. Like, it's
like, I can be convinced to get a slushy and have some jello shots. Like, I wouldn't go out of my way to do it, but
I literally saw the man drink half a pint of Four Loko just so Shannon wouldn't take it from him and drink it himself. But like in 3 seconds, it was just one of those like, well, decision's made. See you guys on the other side. Junk. And I was like, holy shit.
This is what we're doing. Yeah, Zach, like, trying to stop me and it's already gone.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I was like, well, my night just got a lot more interesting. Got two of you now.
But. No, you never had two. It was always just one.
Yeah, I was well reserved.
Well, see, I'm also used to now, Justin, just a little insight of my friends, because I have friends that are like that. Also, when the half pint of Four Loko hits the system, I'm now prepared for it being like, well, this is what we're doing now. Fuck it. Like, let's go. And you didn't keep that train moving. Like I expected. See, my initial reaction was like, oh, that's going to go down. And now here come the shots. Okay, here we go. Like, this is where we're going to go from here.
Yeah, no, the like absolute worst, like, and that's what's so funny. Cause like, I've never been blackout drunk. I've never anything like usually like, I know. Like, and that's the thing. Usually everyone has like one story of like the, I don't remember what happened type situation where it's like, I've always been cursed with the memory of what happened.
Cursed. Yeah. He says.
And well, it's because the worst time for me was, we were having a Christmas party. My friends just moved into an apartment complex, whatever. And they were doing like a Christmas / like housewarming thing. And, there was like red and green jello shots. And I probably ate about 10 of them. And that was like prior to eating food. And then I was also drinking normal drink. And at one point I like got up to walk to the kitchen and everything kind of went like weeble wobbly when I was walking. And I was like, oh, like this isn't good. And I sat on the couch and I fell asleep at one point. And then I woke up and I was like, oh, I have to vomit. And I was like, oh, my legs don't work. And I was just like, well, I guess we're doing this here. And I just threw up all down my, all over their new couch. And they're like, Justin, you need to get up. And I just shook my head and I was like, man, it's not happening.
Like, and so they brought
me, yeah, they brought me the garbage can, but by then like the damage, it was already done. And they're like, all over our new couch. And I was like, well, I'm ready to go home. It's over.
I don't feel good.
Yeah, I don't feel good, Mr. Stark.
You're like, send me a cleaning bill, but I'm leaving.
Yeah, better flip those cushions over, because that's not, that red and green is not coming out of there.
Maybe just move that outside. Just smells. Yeah. But yeah, so outside of those festivities, so did we have the duck? Did the duck show up at the, or what was the thing that your favorite?
My favorite. I actually hit that because I do have my little duck. Like I love.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, he's my favorite little battle bot. Unfortunately, he's discontinued. Like what? They pulled. Yeah, because the problem is like. Duck was never like a powerhouse of a battle bot. Mm-hmm. His whole thing was like strong defense, and like his thing was to like outlast the other bot and have them like break their weapon on him, and then like it would come down to like damage and like control and whatever, and that's where he would get his points, because
Shannon would fight too. It never really worked out
yeah.
for him.
Yeah, break their hand on him. He's like, yeah whatever. So, but you know, he did really good in his like starting like season or two, and then like they redesigned him And the redesign, I don't know what they were thinking. They tried to kind of add more of like a flipper thing to him, but he had a lot less defense and he just got his shit wrecked like every fight. And I think they were just kind of like, yeah, we're constantly having to rebuild this bot and we're just like losing money and he's not really winning. So unfortunately, they pulled him out. So Duck was not there. Witch Doctor was there, though, which is one of my other favorite ones. So that was cool to get to see Witch Doctor fight, even though Witch Doctor got its ass handed to it. But I feel like if Witch Doctor's actual driver was there, it would have been a different story. But...
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, you know, it's the same story, Justin. March 10th. Mario Day on the calendar yet again. They had some announcements, some sales. You could go buy Mario games for the discount and all that. But let's talk about why we're all here. The only real thing that was important, Paper Mario Thousand Year Door Remake, May 23rd. Let's fucking go, gentlemen.
Dude. As somebody who's never played Thousand Year Door,
I'm like so jealous of you. You get to play this game for the first time. Like,
I'm stoked. I want to give this. I want it all up in my veins. So I'm waiting. I'm waiting for May.
Yes. Yes. Buy it. Just buy it. Trust me. It's awesome.
Okay. I'm also really excited that we finally got a date for the second Mario movie, which my son has been asking me about since the first Mario movie came out. So, you know, I told him, since he just celebrated his 7th birthday this past weekend, that the next time he's going to get to see a Mario movie in theaters, he will be 9. And you should have seen the look on his face.
He's like, aww. See, I thought the thing that would make your son flip his lid would be the Mario Kart Lego sets they announced coming.
Dude, so he is stoked about it, right? But I think he's stoked about it in like thought, right? Like, he's like, yeah, he's like, these Lego sets are great as long as I don't have to like put them all together, right? Like, I mean, he's there for like 75% of it now. And then he kind of gets tired and then it sits on the shelf for like 3 months and then he gets around to like finishing it.
He's here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got some Lego Relatable. Sets that he's got to build right now.
Relatable. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, we got off track there, though. Justin, your thoughts on Thousand Year Door, because I know you're just like me on this one.
Yes, I mean, Thousand Year Door is one of my favorite games of all time. I mean, as someone who has multiple Paper Mario tattoos, I am stoked. It looks gorgeous. I love the new art style. The lighting, dude, they've like completely redid the light. Like, it looks fucking gorgeous. Like, especially in the sewers and stuff, they have like cracks with like light shining through it and stuff. It looks fantastic. And like, everything has a more like cardboard like layered effect to it and stuff. Like, I'm super stoked. I'm very excited it is coming out earlier, because I honestly thought that they were going to release it in August, when I thought they were going to honestly release it on the same day that Thousand Year Door originally came out, which was like August 11th or something like that, because then it would be like the exact like 20 year mark.
That's super nerdy that you know that, but that's awesome. Yeah. At the same time.
You know, the fact that it's coming out May 23rd comes out like right after my birthday. So I'm there. I'm excited. It's going to be rough, though, because let me tell you what. World of Goo 2 also comes out May 23rd. And then right before May 23rd, on like May 21st, I think, or something like that, is Hellblade 2. So it's like, man, dude, end of May all of a sudden became just absolutely stacked.
So what's gonna happen is I'm gonna be playing Hellblade 2 at night, and I'll be playing Paper Mario during the day when my kids are around. That's how that's gonna work in my house, I think.
I don't see a problem there.
No, except for when Paper Mario takes over my life and I don't touch Hellblade 2, even though I've been looking forward to this game for 4 years. And I'm like, oh, wait, but thousand year door. It's here.
Dude, that's how I feel, where I'm like, man, dude, like, I've been waiting, like, we're getting a second World of Goo. I also have a World of Goo tattoo. I'm super stoked for that. And it's like, brand new game? I'm like, or playing a remake of the same game I've played, like, once every, like, 3 years. But I'm probably going to just, it's going to fall to the wayside. I'm just going to get sucked back in the Thousand Year Door again.
So here's my question. Since you play, like, the original Thousand Year Door, like, every 3 years, if the remake comes out and it's good, does that mean that that is going to be the version that you'll play every 3 years instead of the OG one?
Dude, I'm going to be honest, Shannon, just looking at it, like, this looks like the superior version of the game. Like, I don't see a way that, like, this version of the game isn't, like, the ultimate version. Because it's not like, you know, it's a GameCube game, so it's not like it was like a Wii game that they're having to reconfigure controls for or whatever. Like, all the controls that you would need are on the Switch. Like, it should just work. Like, visually, it's going to be in HD. Like, you know, it's still going to be running at fucking 30 frames a second or whatever, like it was on, like, the GameCube, whatever. But it's going to look a lot nicer. So I'm stoked. Like, I don't see a world where I would ever really return back to the GameCube version after this one.
So that was actually going to be my question to you as well, Justin. Having played the first Paper Mario remake, does it stick basically beat for beat to the original game? Or is it like Resident Evil 4 where it's like, yeah, it's basically the same, but it's kind of not?
So from looking at it, from what I understand, this seems like it's a straight up, like, one for one, like, remake. Like, more, I'd say it's more akin to, like, Persona, where it's basically the exact same game, just visually nicer, with probably some, like, quality of life and maybe, like, some
modernization.
Yeah, like, here and there. But for the most part, I'm under the impression that it is literally the exact same game. Because, like, they've shown, like, exact screenshots of, like, the new version, old version, like, and it looks, like, beat for beat. Like, some of the scenery is, like, if you go on, like, the website or whatever for it, like, some of the scenery is, like, a little more advanced, of course, like, in this new one and stuff, but it looks verbatim, like, the exact same, just visually nicer.
Yeah, I'm hyped. Very hyped. I have to say, I didn't buy any new Mario stuff on Mario Day. I did not partake. The other one I wanted to just shine a light on real quick, no pun intended, Luigi's Mansion 2 HD coming to the Switch, which now all the Luigi's Mansion games are on the Switch with this one, and I think that's pretty cool. Like, I know my kids will be super into it. They dug the hell out of 3, so...
That is super cool. Like, I play, like, I have 2 on the 3DS.
I never
finished it either. It's literally, like, the only one I never finished. And it's like, I don't remember why. Like, I might have been, like, something else came out. Like, I don't think I got super far, but it's not like I just did the first level and quit. Like, I got, like, a few, because it was more level broken out. And I think that's kind of what initially threw me off compared to the first one, was it wasn't just going around the mansion, whatever, is broken out, like, almost arcade style into, like, different levels, which I thought was, like, an interesting choice. But, you know, I'll probably pick it up at some point, because I do still want to, I need to get the first one on the Switch, too, at some point. So, have the whole collection on there.
Or do we just wait and see if it all comes to, you know, carries over to the new Switch hardware or something? I don't know. That I'm kind of in that weird spot where, like, I feel weird buying Switch things now until I know I can play it on the next thing. I mean, sure, I'm going to buy Thousand Year Door, but outside of that, it's like, do I really want to spend money on Switch games until I know I can bring it all over? I don't know.
Dude, and that's, like, what's funny, too, is, like, I know Mike is, like, super hyped for the Princess Peach game, and I'm still, like, on the fence about it. Like, it looks interesting, but it's definitely not, like, a day one grab for me. So, Mike, I'm interested to hear, once you play it, what your opinion is on it, because I'm not 100% sold on it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they end up doing with all that stuff. But yeah, it's nice to see Nintendo padding out their calendar a little bit. And
somebody's got to, right?
Yeah. Well, not a lot coming on the pipe for that, but you know. But yeah, I guess that's Mario Day. I don't really know how to transition to this. It seems like a hard left to take.
Mm-hmm.
But
sometimes with the highs, you got to have some lows.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had a pretty big low with Akira Toriyama passing away at 68 years old. Way too young, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, creator of the Dragon Ball series, but also, you know, character designer for Dragon Quest, Chrono Trigger, you know, heavy hitters. Man had a lot of influence in modern culture. I mean, just in general, across the board. And as people that are huge fans of his work, I'll let you guys kind of take the ball with this one.
I mean, I don't think without his influence, I would be into as big, I wouldn't be as big of an anime nerd as I am. Like Dragon Ball was like my gateway drug. Like, and it, I don't know what it was about the drawing style or the story. Maybe it was the fact that I was 13 at the time and Bulma like really captured my attention, but like, regardless of what got me into Dragon Ball, like, it stuck with me. Like, I mean, it was just, it was there all the time. I had all the books. You know, when I saw his influence in Chrono Trigger, like, I didn't even know what Chrono Trigger was. Like, RPGs weren't my thing. And like, you know, he turned me on to a whole new style of gaming that to this day, I still find to be one of my, my favorite genres to play in. So, I mean, just it, like to hear that he had passed was very, was, you know, it's a part of your childhood, you know, that you feel is somehow lost, or, you know, there's that spark that dissipates because of it. You know, it reminds you that everything ultimately comes to an end, and, you know, you kind of, you know, are, you know, you're faced with some harsh realizations, right? Yeah. And so, you know, it tends to put some things into account, and you tend to appreciate things a little bit more. I did find myself, you know, really kind of appreciating a lot of sentiment. I mean, worldwide, like you see people in Brazil, you see people in Japan, like, you know, holding up, like making spirit bombs, like, you know, like everybody, like in a whole soccer stadium when it went down that, like, you know, he had passed away. They put it up in this stadium and right away, like everybody stopped and like they were like putting their hands up and like doing like their little spirit bomb things and like, you know, showing appreciation. What I don't like is in some of my communities, like with my 3D printing and things like that, people right off the bat were like, oh, well, I'm going to make this like tribute thing and it's going to have Goku standing in front of this dude's mm-hmm. like grave and I'm going to sell it for $10.
Yeah.
If you want to print it out. And like stuff like that just cheapens it. And, you know, I got into some battles with it. I was like, you know, some cynicism on my side, like, oh, great, this dude just passed away and you're already trying to, you know, make $10 off of his, you know, yeah, or
that stuff's just gross. That's all it is. It's just gross.
Like, yeah. But, you know, I mean, you know, I still look around my desk in my room and like, you know, I got probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like at least 8 things that I can see right now off the bat that are all Dragon Ball on my desk. And, you know, it's they're pleasant reminders of my childhood. So I have plenty to thank him for. Justin, what's your take on it?
No, I mean, I'm a lot in the same boat. Like the first manga I ever read and bought was Dragon Ball Z. And that's what initially even got me into manga. And it's like, I was huge into Dragon Ball Z in like, you know, fourth, fifth, like sixth grade, dude. I had an orange Super Saiyan Trunk, like backpack mm-hmm. with my name on it. I wanted to cut my hair like Trunks. Like, you know, I was out there in the yard swinging sticks, like sword, like Trunks, like, had like ton of Dragon Ball Z, like action figures and the DVDs and stuff. And you know, and it's just crazy because it's like, you know, he, you know, also single-handedly like helped after Dragon Ball Z ended and stuff, and everyone like hated GT and stuff, you know, it was like his influence and stuff that helped bring about Super and like brought Dragon Ball Z like back. And it's just crazy because, you know, it's like still ongoing, and like there was a bunch of other projects and movies and like, you know, games and all this other stuff that he was involved in that now it's like it's gonna have to continue without him, and it's just, you know, it's not gonna be the same.
Yeah,
so that always sucks. And but you know, he was just a huge influence, you know, in general to just, and like how many, you know, different animes or whatever make Dragon Ball Z references or Kamehameha references or whatever, like, you know, Dragon Ball was always like one of the greats, like among like One Piece and, you know, all the other like Naruto and like all the other like main like big line like anime series and stuff. So yeah, we lost a good one way too. I was shocked. Like when I heard, I was like, it was in Vegas when I saw it or whatever, and someone posted it in the Discord, and I was sitting there and I was like, no fucking way. I was like, dude, please tell me this is fake. And it was not. And I was just like, damn, dude.
Yeah, it takes the wind out of your sails. You know, it's, you know, like I said, it's just that part of your childhood that like, you can never go back to, you know, or like you don't feel you can. It's like a chapter that's closed, right?
Yeah.
And it's a hard one to adjust to, because I mean, like, and it's funny too, because you don't really think about it, right? Like, it's just kind of like one of those things you take for granted, and like, you know, thinking it's always going to be there, it's always going to be the way that it is. And you know, even in the later years of Dragon Ball, they've kind of started to go into like this more computer driven animation style than like the original, like, you know, hand drawn. Mm-hmm. And it lost some of its flair, and I hope that they don't continue to go down that route, because like some of the most recent movies that they've had have been, it's almost been too busy, like the Broly battles and things like that in the new anime. It's been too busy, right? And like, so it'll be interesting to see if this causes them to maybe keep it more in his image, like, you know, in his creative imagery or like his dream, right? Like, I guess his yeah, vision, yeah, for it. And I hope they do. So, you know, that's all I gotta say about it.
I mean, it usually does for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, and then enough people leave and new people come in and life moves on. It's not always in the best way, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I'll just go back and watch all those older movies.
And the old ones,
they still hold up.
And that's the thing, is like, you know, you lose the creators and everything, but you do have the art stays, you know, and what it means to you as a individual and what it means to the community at large and everything, it still matters. It's still important. It still resonates. And, you know, we should all be so lucky to have something that we've done that's meant so much to so many. And mm-hmm. I mean, again, 68, incredibly too young, like Jesus Christ, but you know, what a legacy to have left behind. So
yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And there's no real way to transition in or out of that, but
no, but much like a roller coaster, when you have your highs and your lows, you gotta go back up to your highs again.
And so let's go talk about the Stellar Blade demo, I guess.
Yes, Lee, like I am very interested, because like I did you know, kind of very glibly, like, kind of talk about, like, you know, how many butts on a scale of 1 to 10. But I am interested to see, you know, Twitter buzz aside, like, is this a game that's like legitimately like a good game underneath the gratuitous TNA, or is it just,
well, so there's Dead or Alive levels of TNA. in this thing. A lot.
Like what Dead or Alive level? Like the most recent ones with the like the with the actual like physics, or like when they were trying to figure it out and things were still really spongy. And
yeah, that was no. I'm thinking more like beach volleyball, Dead or Alive. There's a lot of like Bayonetta vibes too, mm-hmm. just with the outfits and your character's hair becomes the sheath for her sword. Hmm. Randomly. It's like the first time that happened, I'm like, oh, that's weird. Okay. All right. We got a hair sheath apparently. That works. But yeah, so game opens up. You're trying to land on Earth as part of like an invading force. And you get shot out of orbit. Your pod crashes to planet along with like other members of your team. And basically the rest of your team almost instantly get slaughtered.
Okay.
you get rescued by another member of your team. And you're like, okay, we got to go to the rendezvous point. And that begins the tutorial of like, oh, here's people showing up. Here's how you fight. And here's what you do. And here's how you do this. And blah, blah, blah. And around the third one of those battles, I realized like, oh, I'm playing Dark Souls. Like, oh, here's your light attack. Here's your heavy attack. Here's your parry. Here's, you know, like it's all those same mechanics. But it seems way more third person hack and slash. And so I was like, oh, maybe it's just, you know, because a lot of people are biting the Dark Souls. I mean, even God of War bit off the Dark Souls combat system, right? A lot. So you're going through and then, you know, you get to where a huge monster shows up and kills. You basically fight it until it kills you. And then your teammate jumps in front of you to save you. It kills her. And then, you get pulled away by another person at that point. And then the game starts, right? And so you're going out into the world on missions. And yeah, it's straight up Dark Souls at that point. Like you're going through, you're fighting dudes, you know, they damage you pretty easily. They take multiple hits to kill, even the little guys. There's essentially campfires. I think they call them campsites, but it's, you know, a chair and a vending machine to buy upgrades and some stuff. And it's like Lords of the Fallen level good as far as like it's the combat's fine. Like it's fun. The little bit I was able to get into it, like it was good. The game looks phenomenal, like running the animations and the movies that are playing and stuff in the cutscenes in the game. It all looks crazy. Like it's super impressive how good visually that game looks. It's really dumb. Like it's super dumb. It seems like it's a game that was made for how many cosplayers can we get out of this game. There's Kojima levels of like, yeah, we get pulled out of this pod and you're naked and then your clothes appear on you, like just out of your skin you suddenly have clothes, and it's like, okay, sure, like we'll go with that, I guess. But essentially you're like, I believe you are an android and you keep getting like repaired. And that's the whole conceit with like the campfire thing is like, that's where you can get like you can get brought back, like reassembled there and keep going type thing. But it's the same thing. Like when that happens, enemies respawn, you know, that sort of stuff. So, it was fine. It was just, I wasn't expecting a Dark Souls game. I don't think maybe they said that's what it was at some point, but I never heard that. And yeah, just kind of caught me off guard a little bit.
Did you like your wife walk in at any point and be like, what the hell are you playing?
No. So, so this game went up and got taken down immediately. It was literally within an hour. Right. And I just happened to be home working on some stuff and saw online, like, oh, like I think Wario64 on Twitter was like, hey, this demo's up. And I'm like, oh, they released a demo for that? And so I just like got on PlayStation's website and downloaded the demo to my PS5, got the alert that it was done. And I'm like, oh, I've got like 45 minutes to kill. I'll try it right now. Fired it up, played it, turned it off, went off on with my day. And by the next time I logged into our Discord, I think it was Dan was like, hey, that demo went up and got taken down. And I'm like, what? I played that. Seriously? It's gone? And like, PlayStation did the extra step of taking it off your console.
Wow. Like, okay.
It is gone, gone. Like, and more to the point, no one seems to understand why. The game comes out April 26th, but they've released like no reason for it. Like, it played fine. I didn't run into any bugs or anything that was like breaking my system or something. And maybe people were, or maybe it never got verified or something. And they were like, oh shit, we can't have this out. Maybe it got released early and it was never supposed to, or maybe it was just never supposed to be released. Who knows? But the fact that they've said nothing about it and just wiped it, you know, like a U2 album off an iPod, like, you know, like, I don't, I've never heard of anything like this. What do you guys, have you it heard seems, anything different?
No, I haven't heard anything different, but it seems like a month before your game is supposed to come out is the perfect amount of time to let people play it, but also like iron out the last little couple of bugs that people are going to find. So I don't, it's weird that they pulled it off, but, I'm glad you got your hands on it to give it a try. Justin, what do you think?
Dude, I'm not going to lie. Like, the fact that it apparently has like a lot of Dark Souls influence has me very interested now. Like, initially I was like, okay, yeah, this looks really pretty and looks very Kojima and weird and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you comparing it to Dark Souls, like, has me going like, God damn it. Like, am I going to have to buy this game? Like, is that what's about to happen right now?
What was that one super anime Dark Souls cult, like Code Vein?
Scarlet Nexus?
No, was it Code Vein? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
I think that's what it was called.
Yeah. It reminded me kind of like that, like super anime heavy vibes, Dark Souls.
Like, was it difficult like Dark Souls?
Though, it was. Or was it just I died. Like, random dudes would kill me. Like, I would go from full health to nothing, and then and it was the second time that happened. I'm like, oh, it is like Dark Souls. I actually have to pay attention. Okay, let me lock in and get through this like alleyway so I can figure out what the hell is actually going on in this world.
Now when you died, was it like a slow-mo version of her like arching her back backwards, falling over?
No, thankfully.
She leans back and her clothes just explode off.
Right. Yeah, no, nothing like that. But there was, damn it, I was just thinking, you jogged my memory of something else, but... Not like that.
Text comes on the screen. Panties vanquished.
Jesus. Ugh. But I believe you can buy new outfits from the vending machine.
Of course you can.
Yeah. So. But yes. No, it's very much in the hard as balls Dark Souls vein. So.
Man, I hope the demo comes back up because now I'm like really interested. I want to try it out because that's kind of what got me on Life of P.
Sorry. That's what I was going to say is it does have 3D platforming though, unlike the Dark Souls stuff. Like there is jumping and grabbing and, you know, climbing up on ledges and stuff like that. There is that part in there that isn't Dark Souls, but the combat is 100% Dark Souls.
Okay, so it's like Dark Souls mixed with a little God of War.
Little bit, but nah, it's like, I'm trying to think of the right. The character moves very lightly, you know, like there is a Persia. Yeah, a little Prince of Persia-ish. There you go. Like it's one of those like you feel very fluid, very fast, very light on your feet. Like it's not like Kratos where he lands off a cliff and it sounds like a freaking Mack truck falling off a cliff, Kakoosh. You don't have to hear that. But yeah, I could see this being a sneaky game for Justin. Just don't let Megan see you play it.
Boot up the PlayStation 5. She's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
What the hell have you been doing?
Get this weeb shit out of here.
Get this waifu bullshit out of here.
You're like, but I've got the pillow coming.
I got the Ultra Deluxe Edition.
So I did put up on Twitter that we've all kind of been going back logging these days, except, well, Justin can't stop playing Balatro. But I fired up Detective Pikachu Returns.
And how is that?
It's good. It's good. It takes it. I remembered why I stopped playing it because I fired it up and I'm like, I'm just starting a new game because I don't remember anything about what's going on. So I started up a new game and that game takes like an hour to get actually into the game because it's just one of those like it. I mean, it's Nintendo. I understand there. It's a game that's for like my son. Right. So there's a lot of like, hey, this is how you're doing this and want to know how to start solve a crime and start your notebook. Well, this is how you use your notebook. And then this is how you're going to go investigate. And once you're investigating, you're going to want to, and it's one of those like, Jesus Christ, I can figure all this out. Stop with the prompts. Like, stop telling me, just let me be my way through all of this and move on with my life. But they want you to read it all. So you can't just skip it all. But once you're actually through all that crap and into the game itself, it's good. It's totally got, big Phoenix Wright vibes. And it's fun to kind of go around and, do your investigations and piece all the puzzles together. And like the first two missions are stupid easy. It's one of those like, it's hilarious because the whole thing, the first one is like a jewelry store or jewelry robbery, right? Mm-hmm. And the butler of this mansion is under investigation by the police. And the guy whose jewel it is like, I've known this dude since we were kids. He didn't rob me, And it's like, yeah, but all the evidence says he did. And he's like, I need you guys to figure out who actually did it because I know this guy wouldn't rob me. And within the second person you've talked to, you're like, oh, you did it. You did it. I know you did it. Like just look at what you told me. Like it's obvious you did it, and you can't just call it at that point. You have to go do the investigation, talk to everyone, get all the clues. And like, meanwhile, it's like, yep, here's just another piece confirming that you did it. Here's just one more. Yeah, okay. Let me go talk to this fucking Arcanine over here. Oh, look, the Arcanine says you did it too. That's great. And so you're spending a half hour to 45 minutes just going through the paces until you can get to the point where you're like, this guy did it. And you're like, yeah, no fucking shit. He did, but they are getting more difficult as it goes, which is good because I don't remember the DS game being that easy. Like it had some softball, sure, but it definitely had some brain teasers in there as well. And yeah, the first couple missions were just one of those like, why? Okay, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I shouldn't be playing this game. Like, or maybe this is just a kid's game. Like, I am too old for this. I can't be enjoying Detective Pikachu. Maybe I need to move on with my life. But no, it's good. I'm having fun with it. It plays really well on the Switch. It's a good handheld game, so I'd recommend it. I think like your son would dig it.
Okay, I'll have to give it a try. Yeah. Maybe, is there a demo available?
I'm not sure if there's a demo, but I do have the cartridge.
So even better.
Maybe I'll slide that your way if I wrap it up this week when we come over on Saturday. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. I would appreciate that. Yeah, I think he'd get a kick out of it. His birthday this weekend. Apparently, he's known as Thunder Boy in class because he likes because he likes Pikachu, and so everybody just calls him like Thunder Boy.
Hey, it's a pretty rad nickname.
Yeah, I was called worse things by kids, yeah. So you know.
I was just called Shannon, so it's, you know.
I've been called worse things by Shannon like this week. That is true.
Oh man.
But yeah, so how are your backlogging adventures going, Shannon?
Well, I'm still enjoying every second of Yakuza. It has pried my attention. It has single-handedly taken me away from PAL World. Mm. It's now the game that I want to be playing. I find it fun. It's kind of like Saints Row, but done better. The cutscenes are still way too long. I have maybe like an hour at night to play. So I sit down and it's kind of sucks when you're at the end of a chapter and you have a half hour cutscene and then you get 30 minutes to play your game. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, the story is good. Like, it's definitely going places now. Like, I'm maybe like 15 hours in because of, like, you know, last week when Justin so graciously told me how to progress my story a little bit longer. I went through there and I kicked those dudes' teeth in like hardcore. Like, I was like so overpowered for that area. And, you know, it was fun. Like, the story is zany and wacky, but it's not too over the top. The combat's still great. I have a fourth character. I unlocked a fourth character, so now I have a party of four. Mm. And, like, they're running around, like, just tearing shit up. I'm, like, enjoying it. Like, it runs well on the Steam Deck. I haven't had any crashes, any stalls, or anything like that. The one thing I will say is it is a hog with the battery on the Steam Deck. Like, instead of like 2 hours of playtime, you maybe get an hour and a half. And it's kind of also a bummer if a lot of that is like watching a cutscene because, like, you know, that fan's running in the background and you're listening to the dialogue and you're just like, man, dude, like, I just want to play my game right now. But, all in all, it's good. Like, I do see myself sticking this one out and finishing it. Good. But I don't know. Like, they keep piling on these mini games, and you know me and getting sidetracked with, like, side quests. So I'm really trying to just stay focused on the main story because I feel if I go down that rabbit hole, I'm going to be spending, like, 160 hours in this game. Mm. Well, and I do, as much as I love this game, I do want to get to Final Fantasy and I do want to get to Infinite Wealth.
It does seem like that is an easy thing to do, would get to 160 hours in that game.
Dude, like, seriously, like, walking around the town and just exploring and unlocking the shops and finding different ways to navigate. And, you know, then you have to find, like, there's a sub game where you have to find, like, all the crazies in the city. Mm-hmm. So then you're walking around looking for people who are peeing in rivers and, like, streaking and flashing. And, like, you're looking for all, like, this zany stuff, like, on top of doing all of your, you know, your main story quests. So, I mean, there's always something that's trying to distract you and, like, suck you into another part of the city. Yeah. And it's great. I mean, like, for somebody who doesn't have a lot of money or wants a game that's going to consume them for a while, this is that game. Like, no joke. You are never going to get bored in this game. There's so much to do. So, you know, I know our friend of the show, AJ, was, looking for a review. I'm only 20 hours into this game right now. And I say that only because I know how long it takes to beat this game. Right. But I'm not bored. I'm not thinking about other games, like, and I do enjoy myself when I play this game. So
all right,
there it is, AJ. Get yourself this game. It's good.
Go get you some.
Mm-hmm. Justin, what are you playing this week?
Well, first I'm gonna let you know, I did look up Yakuza Like a Dragon, how long to beat. It says main story, like, you're looking at anywhere between like 45 to 67 hours. And then for completionist, it says it's 102 hours.
Wow. Okay.
So this week, because I was in Vegas, I didn't really get to play too much. I was very sad that I haven't got to play Persona. I'm hoping to maybe play some Persona tonight after the podcast, because it's been a lot of fun. I have like all my party members now. Like, I've been trying to like upgrade everyone and build the max out those social links and stuff. I went through my long like train of like fusing to make Black Frost, I think is his name. He's like my best persona I have, and I love him. He's adorable. He's a little black dude that freezes people and does whatever. And one of the other chicks on my team also has ice, so the fact that like he has moves that are like ice or whatever, and her stuff does stuff to make ice like stronger, it's like great. Mm-hmm. Like the two of us together when we're on a team, like as long as they're not resistant to ice, like it's pretty dominating. But I did get to play a lot of Balatro since I brought my Switch with me, and you know, it was like 5 hours to Vegas in the car and stuff, so I did play some Balatro in the car, and it's still so much fun. Like I really enjoy it for what it is. I know there's been I really thought my like friend PJ would really like it, because he's like a big fan of like deck builders and like Inscription and like, you know, Slay the Spire, stuff like that. And he played it, and I guess like he didn't really dig it. Like his biggest thing, I guess he didn't like the, you know, poker aspect of it, but which I get that that's like probably like the, I say like weakest element of it, but it's like at the same time, from like a game design perspective, I think it makes sense, because it's like everyone knows how to play like five card stud. Everyone knows how to play like poker. Like, you know, the rules of like a pair, three of a kind, like full house, like whatever. Like, it's almost universal, like at this point. And even like kids who are like, you know, 7, 8, like usually know how to play like at least like, or at least have a rough idea of like poker, of like, oh, I'm trying to build like the best hand of like five cards. So I feel like that makes sense and gives you a lot to build off of, because like, you know, the Joker cards make stuff like super weird, and you know, like you have your your tarot cards and your like planet cards and stuff that do different things and make like different combos better. Like since I unlocked all the decks and stuff, I've been playing with the green deck, which gives you, because normally between rounds you like gain interest on your money and stuff that you still have, and it's like up to a certain dollar amount. It's like, I think it caps out at $10 or whatever, but you can get upgrades to make it like $20 or, you know, something like that. But with the green deck, you don't earn interest, but instead, depending on like how many hands you have left to play or how many discards you have available left at the end of when you beat the opponent or whatever, it gives you like that times two in money. So like a lot of times, like I'm walking away earning like $10 to $12 or something like that, sometimes even more, like per round, which is almost like double what I would get like most rounds. So I have a lot more money to work with. So it lets me re-roll more at the shop, or like invest in like more expensive jokers or opening booster packs and stuff, stuff that I couldn't normally do with the red or the blue deck because I didn't have as much money. So I had like a good run going before where I invested in trying to combo with face cards. So it's like I had my like my kings, queens, jacks all like would double trigger and multiply and do whatever. And then when I bought packs and stuff, I like turned some of my other cards into face cards. And then there's like a joker that makes it so that all your cards are treated as face cards. So then all my cards are doubling and like doing whatever. So right. I had like, you know, yeah, I had like a sick like combo going of like, and that's when it feels like the best, is when you have like a certain theme that you're like going with and it starts working and you're getting jokers that like really synergize together with that, like that's awesome. Like I had one that was, instead of face cards, it was like, oh, my multiplier, I got like +4 or whatever to my multiplier for heart cards. And like multiple times I'd pulled tarot cards that let me like transform like 3 of my cards or whatever into heart cards. So like more than half of my deck was heart cards. And then I like leveled up my flushes. So then like I was getting more points and bigger multipliers for flushes. So it's like, well, most of my hand, a lot of times it's like, I can put together 5 heart cards to make a flush, and now they're all double triggering, like the multiplier's higher. And so those synergies and stuff are really cool. And it's like, it really is different kind of like every time what you're going for. And like, sometimes it's just like Binding of Isaac. Like sometimes, you know, round one, you get a super busted like power and you're like, oh dude, this is going to be a great run. And it has like that effect. And sometimes it's like, all right, like this shit kind of sucks, but you know, we're going to try and like ride it out and see like how far we can go with this.
Kind of like the Hades thing of sometimes you just hit that perfect build.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you get that like perfect item, like right at the beginning and you're like, oh, this is going to be a good run. And then you get your shit kicked in. And it's like, damn it. Like, dude, it was going to be the perfect run. It was you're set like, up.
I had it. I had it set up.
I had it. And then, dude, there was a couple times where I had a great run and I absolutely just fucked myself so hard. Like there's a couple times, cause multiple times I forget like what's the Y button and what's the X button on the Switch. It's like, it's the reverse of the sucks. Xbox controller. So there's multiple times. One of them, the Y button lets you play your hand. Like whatever your cards you selected, it plays those cards for the round. The X button discards those cards. So there's multiple times where I went to like play the hand and I'm like, awesome. And I discarded all 5 of those cards. And then I'm just like sitting there like this, and there's like no undo. And I'm like, well, we're fucked. Like that was my hand. And then I just drew a bunch of useless fucking shit. And it's like, well, like that's the game, boys. Cause we just threw away the hand that was going to win us the game.
Guess we're ending this run. So
yeah, I was just like, well, we die here.
That's funny.
That's all I've been playing this week, though.
All right. Well, I don't believe we have any spoilers this week. Anyone? Spoilers?
Not really. I mean, I watched episodes 2 and 3 of Shogun.
All right. Yeah.
It's really good.
Okay.
That's all. Yep, that's all I can say is it's really good, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. The new episode comes out tonight in 10 minutes, so I'll probably be watching it tomorrow night with dinner.
It's
good. All right. Well, I guess we have a show then. Justin, why don't you take us on in for a landing?
You know what, guys? Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the That Pixel Life podcast. You know what? Head on over to Discord. Like, what games are you playing in May? Have you gotten a little crazy in Vegas? You know, let us know. What's your Vegas story? And while you're at it, head on over to Spotify. Give your boys a review. Let us know how we're doing. And Zach, if Robbie was here, what do you think Robbie would say?
Robbie would say, hey guys, go be great.
And you guys finished this episode too early. I didn't come up with anything cool at all to say.